The Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 610. Precious Jesus, friend of sinners, we as such to thee draw near. Let thy spirit now dwell in us, and with love our souls inspire. Fill, O fill us with that love which casts out fear. 610.
Thank you. Let's read together from the Holy Word of God in the Book of Psalms, reading Psalms 125 through to 128. Psalm 125. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth for ever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even for ever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labour of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. May the Lord bless the reading of his own precious word and grant unto us a spirit of real prayer. Almighty, most merciful and eternal God of heaven, we read of thee in thy word that thou art the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. And, O Lord, we come as poor, needy sinners to bow before thy great majesty. We would not heedlessly nor presumptuously rush into thy presence, but we would bow our heads in shame. As thy servant of old declared, shame and confusion of face belongeth unto us as at this day, for we have sinned. And Lord, how true this confession is. We have all sinned come short of the glory of God. We have a heart which is deceitful and wicked. Indeed, thy word declares desperately wicked. And how true this is. From the crown of our head to the sole of our foot, wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, there is no soundness in my flesh. And often, Lord, we have to cry out with the dear apostle, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We seek, most gracious Lord, that thou wouldst give to us, for we only have what thou dost give. We cannot produce real, true worship in our flesh. Holy, blessed Spirit of truth, do come and grant us that spirit of true worship. The Lord is to be had in reverence of all those that are about him. And we pray for a spirit of reverence and holy fear as we bow before thy glorious majesty. Come, Lord, in thankfulness, thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace. Thankful, O Lord, that there is a throne of grace. Thankful that there is a great high priest who is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And we come to thee, O Lord God, in his name. And we plead with thee for his sake. For Lord, we cannot come in our own name, in our own person. For all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But we come in the name of Jesus Christ. And plead with thee to have mercy upon us and guide us into thy truth and open thy word to our heart and to our understanding and grant that we may know by sacred experience this day the eyes of your understanding being enlightened and that with the heart we may believe unto righteousness. O Lord, we do beseech thee thus to have mercy upon us. Help us to lean not to our own understanding, but may we lean hard upon Jesus Christ. We pray to have the mind of Christ, even as thou hast exhorted in thy word. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And Lord, may we indeed make ourselves of no reputation. May we indeed humble ourselves. Grant us that spirit and mind of Christ. I come to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Do grant that we may be made willing in the day of thy power to walk in thy holy ways and in thy holy commandments. Enable us, O Lord, to lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and help us to run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame thereof, and is now set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Help us to look to him. Help us to cleave to him. We think of those wonderful words of grace. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Oh, thou great God, we need thee to exert that power in our hearts, in our lives, in our circumstances, in our churches. Without thy heavenly power, O Lord, no sweets the gospel can afford. No drops of heavenly love will fall. May we have that faith that worketh by love. May we come to the feet of Jesus in all our wretchedness, in all our helplessness, in all our insufficiency, in all our poverty. May we lay hold of Jesus Christ. Seek thy richest blessing upon this church and this congregation. We would remember our beloved brethren, the deacons, and seek that thou wouldst bless them. and be with them and sustain them and strengthen them and help them. And, Lord, we pray that they may prove the truth of thy word. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. Lord, we need that wisdom that cometh from above, which is first pure, then peaceable. We seek, Lord, the mind of Christ. We seek that thou wouldst bless each one of the brethren and sisters in Christ here in church fellowship, and graciously help them to love one another. We need thee constantly to give us this grace, to love one another, to serve one another, to bear one another's burdens, to esteem each other better than ourselves to be. Lord, give us that mind, that spirit. We do humbly beseech thee. Left to ourselves, O Lord, we are not of that mind, nor are we of that spirit. But we pray that thou wouldst give us that mind and that spirit. We seek, dear Lord, thy blessing upon the whole of this church and congregation. Thou knowest the concerns of each soul and the burdens of every heart. Thou knowest those that are yet dead in trespasses and in sins. We pray that thou wouldst quicken them, that they might know that sovereign work of regeneration in their hearts and begin to seek and to search for spiritual things and spiritual blessings, and begin to see the vanity and the vexation of spirit of all things here below. Oh, do grant, Lord, that thy work may appear, thy power may be known, a spirit of real travail granted unto this people. For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. Seek thy blessing upon the little babes in arms and the dear children as they're brought into the sanctuary, that the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it may be their portion. We seek thy rich blessing upon the dear young friends, that they may be led and taught and guided and directed by thee unto Jesus Christ, to be brought to saving faith in Jesus Christ, to leave everything else, to see a wonder, a glory and a beauty in his person. We do humbly pray thee, so work among this people. Raise up a generation that shall call thee the Redeemer blessed. Be with our young friends in all the paths of life's journey. Guide and direct them regarding their education in the way that they should go. Guide and direct them into employment, useful employment, O Lord. And guide and direct them regarding a partner in life's journey, that they may, O Lord, know thy blessing, thy leading and thy teaching. We seek thy rich blessing, dearest Lord, that it may rest upon each and every one of us in the midst of the journey of life, bearing the heat and the burden of the day. Deliver us from temptation. Deliver us from the work and the power of the wicked one. Deliver us from the inward workings of sin and iniquity in our own hearts. Deliver us from the allurements of this vain world that has to death 10,000 hurled. Oh, do hear us, O Lord. Deliver us from a religion that is of the flesh, carnal. Oh, most gracious Lord, we pray that we may not be found walking in sparks of our own kindling. Make us more spiritually minded. Set our affections on things above. Draw my soul to thee, my Lord. Let me love thy precious word. Grant that thy word may be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray for those in old age and its attendant weaknesses and infirmities. Seek that the arms of thine everlasting love may surround them, and that thou wouldst graciously still teach them in their old age. Thou hast said in thy word that even to hoar hairs will I lead thee. We pray, most gracious Lord, that we may each be prepared for that great day. The young may die, the old will die. We pray for a gracious preparation for after death the judgment. For man goeth to his long home. O thou great God, prepare us for that day. And now, my God, prepare my soul for that great day. And wash me in thy precious blood. Take all my sins away. We pray, most gracious Lord, that prodigals may return and that we may see thy mighty arm in this. We pray that the glory, light and power of the gospel may shine into this village of Swavesey and in the surrounding villages and hamlets. And many precious souls may be gathered in, that we may see a building of the wall, a renewing, a reviving, a replenishing in the church of God. And what we pray for this little house of prayer, we pray for all the little houses of prayer up and down our nation. O Lord, send out thy light, send out thy truth, let them lead me, let them guide me. And O thou great God, look upon our little group of churches, but a part of thy Zion, and send out thy light and thy truth among us. Bless the editors of our magazines, the secretaries of our societies, and those that have responsibilities among us. We seek, most gracious Lord, that thou in thy precious mercy wouldst be with each and every one of thy servants as they labour in word and doctrine today. And grant signs to follow the preaching of the word. And we pray thee, the great Lord of the harvest, to send true labourers into the harvest and to build and revive and renew and replenish thy church and thy people. We seek, O Lord God, that thou wouldst bless thy church throughout the nations of the earth. And we especially think of thy church in those dark places of the earth, and where thy name is hated and thy people are abhorred and accounted as the offscouring of all things and suffer persecution, torment and affliction and death for the name and witness of Jesus Christ. We pray that thou wouldst send them deliverance and send them help from the sanctuary and strengthen them out of Zion and bless thy servants in those dark places. Pray, most gracious Lord, for our nation. We seek thy richest blessing upon our beloved Queen and consort and all the royal household, and that thou wouldst give wisdom unto our leaders in all matters and help them to look to thee and cleave to thee. We pray for all in authority over us, and that we may live a quiet and a peaceable life. We think also, Lord, of the momentous events. We think of this coming week, and also, Lord, we look back and we see the wonderful blessing of the Lord that has rested upon this union of nations, and the blessing of the Lord that has rested upon each of the constituent parts of this united kingdom. And we pray that thou wouldst keep us together, and that thou wouldst again send out thy light, send out thy truth. Preserve unto us our Protestant heritage, our civil and our religious liberties, and restore unto us our national sovereignty. O Lord, thou art able to do abundantly more than we can even ask or think. We thank thee for all thy tender mercies. We thank thee for every mercy of thy kind providence. Truly, Lord, thy mercies are new every morning, and great is thy faithfulness. We thank thee, O Lord, for the wonderful glory of Jesus Christ, his holy life, his holy sacrifice, his death and glorious resurrection. In him everlasting righteousness has been brought in. Through him sin has been put away, and divine justice has been satisfied, and heaven has been opened. O Lord Jesus, we do desire to thank thee of that wonderful mercy that flows through the cross of Calvary. We thank thee for the infinite love of our Heavenly Father that we know in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank thee for that wonderful gift of thy Spirit. Oh, that we may feel more of the unction and power of the Spirit of God upon our heart and upon our assemblies. Be with us now as we turn to thy word. Open thy word to our heart and to our understanding. And come and touch one's lips with a live coal from off the heavenly altar. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 708. As when a child secure of arms hangs at the mother's breast, say, folded in her anxious arms, refusing, receiving food and rest. 708.
greatly feeling to need the Lord's gracious help, I would direct your attention to Psalm 126, and we will read verse 6 for our text. Psalm 126, reading verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let us first notice, this is speaking of Zion. Zion, the church of the living God. The commencement of the psalm, we read, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Zion was, of course, a portion of the city of Jerusalem. It's a hill on one corner in the city of Jerusalem. And in a spiritual sense, it refers to the church of God. We read in the Word of God of the hills of Zion. And that, of course, here in this chapel where there is a living church of Christ, it is one of the hills of Zion. That is what is meant by a hill of Zion. And the Lord has these hills of Zion throughout the nations of the earth. It's nothing to do with a building. It is to do with the Lord's blood-bought people gathered together in church fellowship. That is what Zion is. It's where there is a church united together by the Spirit of the Lord and in love one to another. May the Lord ever enable us to, as it were, seek the good of one another, the spiritual good of one another, and to truly love one another and to bear one another's burdens, because that is the very essence of the walk of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we should each esteem each other better than ourselves to be, and each be willing, indeed desiring, to take the lowest place. What a wonderful thing when the Lord enables a church to walk in sacred union and fellowship with Jesus Christ and with each other. And it's a very precious, sacred thing when we experience that. And we know that in Scripture, the devil is called the separator of the brethren. And if he can disturb the peace and tranquility of the church of God, then he will do everything in his power to do it. But my beloved friends, let us, each one of us, examine ourselves and be careful lest we are that one that is breaking the tranquility and peace of Zion. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Now, this text speaks of the, in this psalm, it speaks of the turn again our captivity. That's the captivity of Zion, the captivity of the church of God, our captivity. And it says, O Lord, as the streams in the south, I understand, and in the southern parts of Israel, having been there myself, and you have the Judean wilderness, and for the most part of the year it is a very arid wilderness. But then there comes times when there is torrential downpour of rain. And what were dry watercourses are then filled with rushing torrents of water. And the psalmist here is praying that the Lord would do that for Zion. Pour forth the Spirit, because the Holy Ghost in Holy Scripture is likened to living water. And we read in the last chapter of the book of the Revelation that John, he saw a river proceeding from beneath the throne of God and of the Lamb. That river is the Holy Ghost, the throne of God, God the Eternal Father, the Lamb, God the Eternal Son, the river, the divine, blessed Spirit of the living God. He proceedeth forth from the Father and the Son. As we read in Psalm 46, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the dwelling places of the Most High. The Lord Jesus, he speaks of those that believe on him, and he says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. You see that divine, blessed work of the Spirit of God. And so the psalmist here is praying for the outpouring of the Spirit of God upon the church of God, upon the Zion of God. And he actually confesses and says that the Lord hath done great things for us. But you know, if the Lord has done great things for us, whether personally or collectively, we shall long for him to do greater things for us. There's forever a hungering and a thirsting of the living child of God, in whatever aspect that may be, whether in their own personal experience or whether in the church of God in Zion. And this first part of our text, he that goeth forth, it speaks of the every single child of God, they go forth. But before we start getting into that aspect of things, there's three ways that I would like to look at this text that is before us. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Firstly, we want to look at it as our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, he that goeth forth. And then we want to look at it as the living child of God. They go forth, they leave this world, and they're on a journey. He that goeth forth. And then we want to look at it in the respect of the gospel ministry. There comes a time when the Lord sends his servants forth, he that goeth forth. And it is in this way, in this three particular points, that this scripture has rested upon my spirit. So let us first look at it then in that preeminent way, because we would that he might have the preeminence in all things, and that is Jesus Christ. His going forth is of old, from everlasting. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, manifest in the flesh. He was sent of his eternal Father to this sin-cursed world. He was made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them that are under the law. And so there comes a time in those sacred decrees of the eternal God, those decrees of salvation, decrees of redemption, when the Son of God was sent forth into this world. There's a beautiful word, I often quote it in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. The fullness of time. What does it mean? It means that time, purposed, decreed by the eternal Father for the salvation, for the redemption of his people. My mind goes to a portion in Proverbs chapter 8, a portion that in my early days was made exceedingly precious when the wicked one tempted me, sorely tempted me, that Jesus Christ was not the Son of God. And that temptation brought me into terrible darkness and bondage in my soul. But it was these words that the Lord used when the Spirit of God brought them with divine power into my heart and Christ was revealed, and I saw so clearly that he is the eternal Son of the Father. And in Proverbs 8:22 we read, "The Lord possessed me," and the person speaking here is Christ. "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way. Before his works of old, I was set up from everlasting." It was that word that delivered me. It was as if the scales fell off my eyes and this awful darkness that I was in, I was completely delivered from it. I was set up from everlasting. I had such a glorious view of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, manifest in the flesh. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water, where we won't read through the whole, but the rest of that chapter in the 8th of Proverbs, it speaks of the glorious person of our Lord Jesus Christ. One thing that has always been very sweet to me in that portion is this: "Then I was by him as one brought up with him." That is the eternal Son with the eternal Father. "Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him." And this is what has been so sweet to me: "rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." Christ, before he became incarnate, before he became the Son of Man, before he was born of a virgin, "my delights were with the sons of men." His heart was fixed on the salvation of his people. Whatever the cost, whatever the sufferings, whatever the humiliation, he was fixed. We read in Isaiah concerning him that he set his face as a flint. He was completely unmoved with any sufferings, any humiliation, even death itself did not move him. He was determined to save, to redeem, and to deliver his people. "He that goeth forth." So this is a most precious word, but there's something added to it. "And weepeth." He that goeth forth and weepeth. The Lord Jesus, we read in Isaiah 53, was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We read of the Lord Jesus at the grave of Lazarus, and the people were so grieved and mourning because of the death of Lazarus. And then we read, Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. What does it show us concerning Jesus? That he was a real man. He had a real human body, a real human soul. What animates our body is our soul. Our spiritual part. And Jesus Christ was a real man, with a real body, with a real soul. He knew real emotions, human emotions. He was a real man. He lived as a real man. He knew what it was to weep. He knew all the sinless infirmities of our nature. He knew what it was to hunger. He knew what it was to thirst. He knew what it was to rejoice. He knew what it was to weep. He was a weeping man. And he had precious seed. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." He had a precious seed given to him by the Father the church of God was chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, chosen in him, chosen by the Father, and given by deed of gift in that sacred, glorious, eternal covenant given unto the Son of God to redeem. It's beautiful how the apostle opens this in Ephesians, and he speaks of that great knowledge he had of the mystery. And he says in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father. You know, my beloved friends, I really do not think we sufficiently honour the Father in the wonderful grace that he bestowed on us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father. You know, that was the words the Lord used to bring me into gospel liberty. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here he says, who hath blessed us? Who? The Father. It's our gracious heavenly Father hath blessed us. When we know the love of Christ, when we get a sacred sight of Christ, when we come to Christ, we're enabled to come. But how? None come except the Father draw. It's the drawing of a heavenly Father that draws you to his Son, Jesus Christ. Do you know those drawings to Jesus Christ? Do you see a loveliness in Jesus Christ? That's the drawings of a heavenly Father who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him. That's where we were chosen. He is the Father's first elect. We read in Isaiah 42 verse 1, behold, my servant, who is it? Jesus Christ. He became a servant when he became a man. He took upon him the form of a man, made in the likeness of sinful man. He himself without sin, but made in the likeness. What that means, my beloved friends, it is that the whole of the sons and daughters of Adam are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. That's why he said, made in the likeness of sinful man. But this man, the man Christ Jesus, born of a virgin without sin, without sin. According to the divine purposes of infinite love, of a gracious heavenly Father, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated, who? The Father, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. The Father has adopted us to himself as his sons and daughters. In Jesus Christ. You cannot know Jesus Christ and not know the Father. Have I been so long time with you, Philip, and yet hast thou not known me? I am in the Father and the Father in me. You know, what clearer, precious, sacred doctrine do we need? It's so clear in God's holy word. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not anything in you, not anything me. You know, when you get a little touch of this grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will say, why me? Why did the Lord pass by thousands and millions of others? And me, he came to me. He sent his Spirit to quicken my soul. He revealed his Son, Jesus Christ, to this poor sinner. He loved me with an everlasting. Why me? Why such a wretch as me, that must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We can't be accepted anywhere else. We're poor, wretched, filthy, undone sinners. That's what we are by nature. Accepted in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ. He that goeth forth and weepeth. He wept. He wept over Jerusalem. He weeps over his church, his people. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you, but you would not. He wept over Jerusalem. It moved him to tears. The glorious, holy God-man. And he wept in his own sufferings and sorrows. He did indeed. But he was determined to save. He carried with him a seed. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. He was bearing this precious seed. You know, my mind went to a beautiful word that we find here in Psalm 22. Psalm 22 is a beautiful messianic psalm, and the whole of that psalm speaks of a suffering Saviour. And it gives us an insight into those deep inward sufferings and sorrows of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But what I want to just draw your attention to is this. In the last two verses of Psalm 22, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come. What, this seed? They shall come. No ifs, no buts, no maybes. Every single soul that our gracious Heavenly Father has chosen and that his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, has redeemed, everyone will come. The Spirit of God proceeding forth from the Father and the Son will enter into each one of their hearts, quicken their souls into life, bring them to living faith in Jesus Christ. And this word, as one as sought to labour before the Lord in prayer. It's been such a sweet word to me. They shall come. There's no doubt. And so we have in our text, and it's such a beautiful word, isn't it? And in our text, he that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. He shall see of the travail of his soul. Christ will and shall be satisfied. They shall come. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born. You know, in Isaiah chapter 53, again, a beautiful sacred chapter on the sufferings of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We have these wonderful words. Yet it pleased the Lord. Who? Our gracious Heavenly Father. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Who? His Son. His Son manifest in the flesh. Yet it pleased the Lord. Why did it please him? Grace. That's what it means. It was the gracious purpose of our eternal Father to punish his Son for our sins. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Who's speaking? The eternal Father. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And the man. Wonderful words of grace. And the man that is my fellow. He is co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and with the Holy Ghost. Awake, O sword. The eternal Father, he took the sword of divine justice that should have swept the whole election of grace to eternal perdition, but it found a substitute, and that substitute was Jesus Christ. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. Just think of this. He hath put him to grief. Why? Your sins, my sins. This is where sin was put away. This is where sin was dealt with, my beloved friends. It's in this glorious, sacred, suffering Saviour. That's where sin was put away. That's the cost of salvation. A man of sorrows, a holy man, a perfect man, an innocent man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. And then we have these beautiful words, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. I never forget reading a beautiful sermon by Thomas Brooks, the Puritan. And he was speaking of the sacred doctrine of the person of the Jesus Christ, the Son of God manifest in the flesh. And he was speaking of the complete sacrifice of Christ. And he actually said, those people that deny that Jesus Christ had a human soul deny, or rather completely undermine, the doctrine of substitution. He said, if Jesus Christ only had a human body, then only our human body has been redeemed. He said, the sacred doctrine of substitution goes as far as the atonement does. And he said, if Jesus Christ did not have a soul, then the most noble part of our person has not been redeemed. Precious doctrine, isn't it? And then we have it here, when thou shalt make his soul, the soul of Jesus Christ, an offering for sin. See, he was a perfect man and he offered a perfect sacrifice, body and soul, to redeem your and my body and soul. When that, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, he hath put him to grief, when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, and this is what drew me to it, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, resurrection, life. Yes, he suffered, he bled, he died, but he was to rise again. He was to swallow up death in victory for his people. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? It's swallowed up in Christ, in a risen Saviour, who has said, because I live, ye shall live also. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. You see that weeping travail of Christ. It's very instructive to look at the words that are used. God's words are very carefully given. Travail. It's a woman in travail. You see, normally if you have severe pain in your body, it's because there is something drastically wrong. But in the pain of travail, there is children to be brought forth. There's hope. There's not anything wrong. There's hope. New life. And so here with Christ, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. They shall come. Not a hoof shall be left behind. None shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. They are a redeemed people. They were chosen by the Father. They were redeemed by the Son. And they will each one be sanctified by the Holy Ghost. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Christ is to come again. And when he comes a second time without sin unto salvation, the very first act in the second coming of Christ, it's revealed in the Gospels, he shall send his angels to the four corners of the earth, and he shall gather his elect unto himself. They were chosen, they were redeemed, they were sanctified, and when he comes a second time, he will gather them all unto himself into eternal glory to be forever with the Lord. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, the safety. You know, it really touched my heart, that hymn we just sung together. And the little infant in its mother's arms. And the whole of the analogy there of faith. It so touched my heart as we were singing it together. Safety. Your safety, my safety, the safety of every child of God is in Jesus Christ. Safely gathered in his arms, redeemed by him, the finished work of salvation, a resurrected Saviour who is coming again. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless... Oh, there's something so precious, so sacred, so solid here, my beloved friends, that is in the foundation of this text is in Jesus Christ. Upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No. Well, we must move on. I would like to carry on that sacred theme of Jesus Christ, but he that goeth forth. The second point then, or way of looking at this text, is the each one of the Lord's living family. We read how that the Lord called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, out of the land of his nativity. And we read of Abraham as he went forth in faith, and the Lord had put that promise, laid it right in his very heart. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He gave him this rich promise that the Messiah would come through his seed. It's very precious, isn't it, the way that the apostle, he takes that up in the epistle to the Hebrews, in that whole list of the faithful. And he says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. That's the obedience of faith, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went, he that goeth forth. You know, my beloved friends, living faith is a very dynamic principle. It's a living principle, and it will take you forward, not backward. It's a living principle. It moves the person. Leaving those things which are behind. The Apostle Paul, he says in Philippians chapter 3, forgetting those things which are behind, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark. And he says that I may win Christ. That's faith in that dear man of God. It moves forward. Constantly moves forward. It's a living principle. So here with Abraham, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. That's walking by faith, not knowing whither he went. Easy when you can see the end from the beginning, isn't it? But the child of God walks by faith. They can't see the end, but they leave everything. Why? Because Christ is made precious to them. And when the Blessed Spirit quickens a poor sinner into life, he begins to show them their lost condition. It'll make you weep. He that goeth forth and weepeth, it'll make you weep. Weep because you're a sinner. Weep because you're undone. Weep because of the sinful inclinations of your heart. And this is not only in the beginning. You'll find it all the way through the journey In this wilderness world, there's a constant realization. I realize more now than ever in my early days just what a sinful, corrupt, wretched, ruined, black man I am. And I seem to know it more and more, the corruption and iniquity of my heart. And what does it do? It makes me long to lay hold of Christ, long to touch the hem of his garment, long for a glimpse of his person, because there is salvation. You're not finding it in yourself, but there's a going forth constantly. And again, this is that dynamic spirit of faith. There's a constantly going out to Jesus Christ. This one thing I do, I press toward the mark, to the prize of the high calling of God. Do you have this spirit of faith? Do you have these longing desires? Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Do you say, give me Christ or else I die? Do you say, Lord, I've got nothing in myself. I'm a poor sinner. I'm a wretched sinner. I'm an undone sinner. But may the Lord lead you by faith to Jesus Christ. Then, oh, you'll see such an attraction, such a beauty in him. You'll leave everything, everything, for his name's sake. Now we read of Abraham here, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city. Spirit of faith, it's looking for something. What the Lord will show you, how the Lord will teach you. There's nothing here below. This is a sinful wilderness journey. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy your soul. You have an aching void that the world can never fill. You bless the Lord for that if you do. It's a wonderful blessing. But I'll tell you, it'll make you weak, that aching void. When you look around and you see things that your poor sinful heart sets it heart upon, and then the Lord says, move on, move on, you've got to leave these things. You know, sometimes real religion costs us something, you know. We have to deny self. We have to deny self, take up our cross. We have to be weaned away from the things of this world, the things that we've set our heart upon. The Lord weans us away from them. You know, it says later on here in the Hebrews, it goes back to Abraham. And it says here that, but now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out. Have you come out? That's the vital thing. Real religion will bring you out of this world, not just in an outward sense, but inwardly, coming away from it. Have you come out? But now they desire a better country. You see, my beloved friends, it's not a coming out and then there's an empty void. No, there's something so attractive, so gloriously revealed unto faith, and that is the person and work of Jesus Christ. Faith that worketh by love. There's a love to Christ. That's what constrains the Lord's people. A love to Christ. Do we have this love to Christ? Do we know what it is to go forth weeping? Weeping over our sins. Weeping over a broken law. Weeping over our inability. Weeping over our helplessness. Constantly weeping. Grieved because of the inward corruptions of your heart. Because of the sinful inclinations of your heart. And yet, you know, it speaks here. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. That is an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. You know, all the time that we're in this world, in this earthly tabernacle, with this sinful nature, with this corrupt nature, surrounded with temptations in this world, it'll make you weep. It'll make you weep. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. You know, the child of God bears precious seed. Just think for a moment of that beautiful, beautiful word in the first chapter of the first epistle of Peter, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That is the seed that lies in every heart of the living, every living child of God. That seed is there. Their soul has been quickened by the word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, the Lord Jesus says that beautiful parable, the parable of the sower. A sower went forth to sow. It's the Lord's servants, you know. They go forth to sow. They preach the word. See, that's their divine commission. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. And that word is sown. The Lord Jesus in that parable, he speaks of where the word is sown. Some by the wayside. Some in shallow soil, some among stones, some among thorns. They come to nothing. Seems to spring up, but then it's gone. But where it's sown into good ground, what does it mean? Ground prepared by God. Ground just like a field of wheat. It's been ploughed up. It's been harrowed, the soil has been broken down, a seedbed has been made, and then the seed is cast in and it brings forth abundance of fruit. Now every living child of God, you see, the Lord prepares them. He breaks up the fallow ground of their heart. He puts in the harrow, and that's where the word harrowing experiences come from. The harrow breaks down, and the Lord leads us into harrowing experiences in our own spiritual life, inwardly, seeing the corruption and sinfulness of the heart, seeing our lost condition, feeling the solemnity of a broken law. It's a harrowing experience. It'll make you weep. But then the precious seed is sown, and it takes root downward, and it bears fruit. Are we fruit-bearing branches in Zion? You see, my beloved friends, all these things are written for our instruction. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, the seed of the word sown in the soul, shall doubtless, there's no doubt, if the God of heaven, by his Spirit, has sealed a promise into your heart, that promise will be fulfilled. Abraham came to a point, and it says he hoped against hope. It looked as if everything had come to nothing. It says there in Hebrews chapter 11 that Sarah was past the age of childbearing, and he was an old man. It was utterly impossible. But what is impossible with man is possible with God. You may have promises, you may have the Lord sealed his word into your heart, and you wonder where it's gone, and you think, well, it couldn't have been the word of the Lord. Mark my words. Doubtless, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Lord will fulfill his promise. And the Lord will fulfill his purposes concerning you. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again. Well, there's the safety and security of every living child of God. There are many, many occasions when the living child of God wonders if ever they will get through, if ever they will reach the end. They feel that they'll make shipwreck of faith. They feel that the enemy will overcome them. They feel that the wicked corruptions of their heart will overcome them. They feel that everything will come to nothing, but it won't. Why? Your life is hid in God, in Christ. That's where your life is. He is our life. You know, my beloved friends, we're always looking for something in here. You'll never find any good in your heart
You might say you're painting a pretty bleak picture. I tell you, I can't paint it bleak enough. You will never find any good in your heart, in your nature. The only good you'll find is in Jesus Christ. I love Joseph Hart's words. Pour not on thyself too long, else 'twill sink thee lower. Look to Jesus, firm and strong, mercy joined with power. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, just briefly, the ministry of the word. The Lord sends forth his servants that he has ordained to be ministers of the word. And the time comes when they have to go forth. They don't know how to go forth. I remember about 5 years before I was sent into the ministry, that was when I was brought into Gospel Liberty. And oh, the blessing of the Lord on my soul. And there were times under that sacred blessing of the Lord that I longed to go and preach. I wanted to go and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour I had found. And I longed to go and preach. And it was because I so loved the Lord. There was nothing wrong in that longing. But I'll never forget my late pastor, Mr. Jupp. And he spoke of it from the pulpit. He spoke, you may have a feeling that you would so love to go and preach the gospel. But he said, I want to just tell you something. Before you go, the Lord will make you a consummate fool. Do you know, I proved him a true prophet. Absolutely right. The time came when I was to go. How to go to preach, I did not know. To me, it was such a huge thing to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. However could this poor, wretched, sinful man even dream of entering into a pulpit? It seemed utterly beyond anything that I could do. And that really was the case. And how to go, I did not know. But I knew I'd got to go. But how to go? But you see, you go forth weeping. You weep over your inability, your helplessness. You don't know how to go. You know, when the Lord sent Samuel to the house of Jesse after he rejected Saul, and the Lord said to him, go down to Bethlehem and the house of Jesse, I've ordained one of his sons. And Samuel says, how can I go? Is that how you feel? How can I go? He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, the ministers of the gospel are to preach one thing, Jesus Christ and him crucified. They are to preach from the word of God. Preach the word. Be instant in season. But they are also to preach the word, which is Christ. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He that goeth forth and weepeth. You see, the Lord has given them precious seed. And they're to go and preach it. And he will by his spirit and grace open the word of God to their heart and to their understanding. And he will give good success. He will, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Lord will enable his servants to do the work that he has ordained for them to do. Well, the time has gone. May it be a word in season. May it be a word of instruction. May it be a word that shall abide and encourage us. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. May the Lord add his blessing.
Let us close with hymn 602. Jesus, the author is of true and living faith. This blessed grace he gives and saves our souls from death. By faith in him we live and view the wonders God alone can do. 602.
Thank you.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sacred fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. Amen.